This is your African storytelling podcast, Tales from the Hearth. Here, we will tell you fictional paranormal African stories. I am the Grizzly. If this is your first time here, welcome. If you have been here before, grab a bottle of wine and relax. This is our fourth episode, and we have two stories to tell you. You must like them. Know that you can send us an email, talesfromthehearth@gmail.com. Interact with us through our social media handles. Check the description for more details. Now to the stories. Dreams are as real as you make them. When Grim comes calling, you know it's time to say goodbye. Our first story is titled, Face to Face. You know that phobia you have now? Yes, that supposedly irrational phobia. You may have died from it, in it, because of it, in your past life, or in an alternate reality. That's why you live in fear of it now. A part of you remembers, and it never fails to signal your brain the danger it once posed for you in another time. This was why Ade lived in fear of water. Of course, he loved to drink water, from any vessel that fits into his palm. And he loved to take long showers, but never in a bathtub. He couldn't swim. Had never learned to because it required submerging himself in the body of water. But strangely enough, he enjoyed visiting the beach, staring at the rolling sheets of water crashing on the stones placed at the edge of the shore to contain it. Yes, he loved the breeze and found peace in the mix of chaos and tranquility the sea brought with it. The sea repulsed and attracted him at the same time, but he knew that as long as he stayed at least 10 feet away from the shores, he had nothing to worry about, as long as he had a measure of control over his life. Water would never be his death. In the year he clocked 33 years, Ade began to have dreams every night. The dreams were not what he could call nightmares, as there was nothing threatening in them or about them. Some nights, he dreamt of a faceless but definitely happy child playing with a faceless maternal figure. Some nights, he dreamt of a faceless boy chasing what looked like a rabbit and sometimes an antelope. Some nights, he dreamt of the boy furiously sweating inside what Ade thought might be a mask. Those dreams came with a vivid environment, but the boy and other people in it were always blurry. Ade was puzzled, and later on attributed the dreams to the Nollywood epic movies he enjoyed watching. Till one night, when the dream changed its course, and dragged him unwillingly into places he dreaded even while wide awake. A blurry figure of a man began to appear at the edge of his dreams. In every dream, and yet subsequently, the man would be there waiting. He always seemed reluctant to take a first step further into a day's dreams, but upon waking up each night, Ade would recall how much closer the blurry man seemed to him, and with each step the blurry man took, Ade noted that the man appeared drenched. This dream recurred for some weeks till the night Ade found himself stalking the man at a distance. Inside his dream, Ade felt an obsessive desire to seek the man, clearly, even though everywhere appeared dark and sounded hollow. He could hear sounds of dripping water as the man in front of him walked further into the dark. Suddenly, the man disappeared, and Ade heard the wild scream of a man dropping into a hole. Fearing for the man, Ade ran towards the sound he heard, hoping to save him. But he too dropped into the unseen hole, and he found himself sinking to the bottom of the ocean. He sunk, arms flailed everywhere, as he struggled vividly to overcome the dark ocean. He prayed to see the man, to know that he wasn't alone, but there was nothing to see. In a state of panic, Ade tried to swim upward, but instead woke up from the nightmare, gasping for air and drenched in sweat on his bed. After that night, Ade resorted to taking sleeping pills before going to bed. God forbid he sees the man again. In the year Ade clocked 34 years old, he got promoted at work to a position he'd had his eyes on for 2 years. That night, which also happened to be a Friday, Ade invited his close friends to the club, and they had a great time dancing, flirting with the ladies, and drinking heavily. It still remains a wonder how each of them drove home at 3 a.m. without an accident. A drunk Ade staggered into his dimly lit flat, a true bachelor's pad, and fell on his couch. He passed out right away, and found himself stalking the blurry man again as he advanced into the dark. Just like in his past dream, Ade heard the wild scream and then ran after the man and found himself in the dark ocean. Just like in his past dream, he panicked and tried to swim up, but was hindered by something or someone holding his left ankle. As Ade tried to twist his ankle off the grip of whomever had it, he looked down and clearly saw the man of his dreams. The man was Ade. There was something manic about Dream Ade's eyes. It was wide open and unblinking, his conjunctiva in stark contrast to the darkness of the ocean. He held Ade's ankle in a death grip and pulled the struggling Ade deeper into the abyss of the ocean. At exactly 3:20 a.m., on the couch in his dimly lit flat, Ade's body gave a violent lurch as he gurgled, choked, and drowned in his own vomit. Hello, Mother. Where have you gone? Hello, Father. What do you do? Our second and final episode is titled Mother is Home. Enjoy. Ikenna was high in spirit. This was his moment. The moment that every true Igbo son of the soil lives for. He was finally going to build his house in his hometown, a decent duplex that will be home for his wife and children. The feeling in his chest intensified as he looked around to take in the layout of his plot for the 100th time. The plot of land belonged to his father but had never been cultivated or used for anything. As the first son of his father, Ikenna considered the land as his, and rightly so. The swelling feeling in his chest was nothing but unbridled pride, as if in slow motion, he slowly rubbed his chest with his right hand as he refocused on the men digging the ground. Ikenna's village had no government-designed infrastructure for pipe-borne water so everyone had to take matters into their own hands and dig a borehole in their compounds. Thankfully, water was easy to reach once you determined the right place to dig. Ikena felt it was wise to find water first, but starting the construction of his home, it will save him thousands of naira in the long run. He wasn't going to make his father's mistake of being penny wise and pound foolish. Remembering his father, Ikena brought out his phone and sent a text to his wife asking if she needed him to pick up adult diapers for his father. His father's health had deteriorated in the past years. The dementia had gotten worse, so Ikena's wife insisted he move in with them to enable her care for him. In the past year, his father had begun to talk to walls. Sometimes, he would wake at night and screech in agony. When asked the matter, he would say in a lucid tone,
"Cecilia wants to kill me. She says I will suffer."
It was tiring, but there was nothing else they could do for the old man. Ikena believed old age was doing numbers on his father. After all, it had been years since Cecilia, his father's wife, and Ikena's mother abandoned them and disappeared. Ikena was 10 years old when his father lost his bank teller job. Things became so hard that they had to move back to their village. Problem began when his father began drinking and gambling away the little money he made from selling firewood at the market. Ikena's mom, Cecilia, constantly kicked against the new vices, but his father couldn't be reasoned with. In fact, he began to batter his wife at any slightest provocation. It seemed like the more he sunk lower in his vices, the more his ego blossomed. Cecilia had to dust her teacher training certificate to search for a teaching job in the village school. She got it, and that helped their finances a little, but pissed off Ikena's father the more. He started to steal Cecilia's money and jewels. Of course, he gambled them away and beat his wife anytime she asked for her money and her possessions. One night, the children woke up to their mother's screams as their father beat her up. They were helpless and could only huddle together and cry for her. In the morning, despite her black eye and wounds, Cecilia tended to her children as they prepared for school. And as she walked them to school, she apologized for their father. She told them that he had beaten her because she stubbornly refused to give him her precious gold ring. It was the only valuable thing she had at the time, and she was saving it for a rainy day. Unfortunately, what Ikena's father deemed to be a rainy day was not a rainy day in her dictionary. She told them that she had hidden it somewhere for safekeeping. Later on, as she adjusted Ikena's collar at the school gate, she whispered to him, "I am wearing it on my toe now, just in case he searches my bags when I am not around." She had chuckled when Ikena glanced down at her feet. She'd worn a court shoe, so Ikena couldn't see it, but he imagined it was uncomfortable for her. That night, Ikena's father came back and attacked Cecilia again. In the morning, Ikena and his siblings couldn't find their father and mother, but it was a Saturday. They did their chores and waited. Ikena's father later came home in the afternoon looking miserable. He informed the children that their mother, Cecilia, had left them. While he was asleep, she had packed her bag and ran away early in the morning. The children had stared at him in disbelief, but as the night approached, they realized he was right. Ikena had even gone to check for her clothes, but found none in the wardrobe. That night, Ikena and his siblings wailed and wailed for their mother. They wanted to go with her. It didn't matter where. They just wanted their mother. But she never came back. Ike and his siblings lived and survived as children without a mother. It seemed like her disappearance became a wake-up call for their father. He never got back on his feet, as he had expected, but he became a better man and father. He gave up drinking, but no one was sure if he'd given up gambling too. He never remarried. It was a struggle for all of them, but he did his best. At one point in their adult lives, Ike and his siblings launched a search for their mother, Cecilia, but never found her, and she never reached out to them. One of the men digging for water called out to Ikenna and startled him out of his reverie. The man wanted to know if the place they were digging once served as a dustbin site. Confused, Ikenna walked over to the men. The men had dug a 4 inches hole and were standing on it. Around their feet were pieces of what Ikenna imagined were rags. He ordered the men to disregard the rags and keep digging. Some minutes later, Ikenna heard one of the men shriek. Alarmed, he walked back to the men as they scrambled out of the hole.
"Niberia Grand Prix stop,"
one of them said. He was clearly frightened. Ikenna went closer to the hole and saw it. There was a skeleton there. The torso was partly bruised, but the skull, thigh bones, and some parts of the feet were visible. Almost immediately, a feeling of dread came over Ikenna as he stared hard at it. He knew it. He was so sure that he knew what was coming. But instead of fleeing the scene, Ikenna slowly eased himself into what was once a grave and bent down to stare at the visible phalanges of what was once a fleshy feet protruding from the earth. He could hear the men shouting at him. He pinched away caked earth from the phalanges of what was once a fleshy feet. Those pieces weren't rags. They had been clothes buried to hide away a murder. Tears streamed down his face as he dusted off the last lump of clay and beheld a ring saved for a rainy day. The world was silent as Ikenna slumped. These stories were made of dreams. Who am I to disagree? That is all for this week. We have more for you next time. The stories for this week's episodes were written by Adachukwu Ogundiwe and narrated by me, The Grizzly. You can follow me on Twitter at CrunchGrizzly. Sound was produced and mixed by Blue Magic OD of Magic City. Also check him out on Twitter at BlueMagic_OD. Tales from the Heart is a production of Crater Library and Publisher, a digital library and publishing platform that provides equitable access to research and knowledge resources. Check it out at www.thecraterlibrary.com. You can check the description for all of these details. Thank you for listening. I have to go now. Ikenna's mother is calling.